Hello there, everybody, and welcome to the Bat Ball Podcast. We're here for episode 79, and we've got a fantastic guest on with us today, and it's someone that I've wanted to interview for a long time. It's someone that I've spoken to fairly frequently, actually, and especially in recent times, and thankfully we've been able to get them on the podcast. So you'll all know him, Door on Tour, Mr. Ben Door. How are you doing, mate? You okay?
I'm not too bad. Thank you for having me on. I'm buzzing, and at last, I'm on his podcast. But yeah, I'm loving life.
I'm glad. And do you think that your positivity at the moment is kind of tied to how Forest performances are going at the moment?
Of course we are. not just that. Everything. Life inspection. I'm living. Forest are winning the playoffs. Life's good. And I'm always positive. Loving life.
I'm glad, because I've seen that you've been doing a lot of cool stuff. I saw that you did something with Kevin Campbell recently. So I want to know a bit more about that. That is just, I mean, the tip of the iceberg of stuff you've been doing. I've seen you've done a lot of great stuff. So tell me more about a bit that you did with Kevin Campbell.
So basically, I'll start with Kev. I first met Kevin Campbell through lockdown. And it was weird because I was interviewing ex-5 players as well. I interviewed 16 ex-5 players. And with Kev, the first day I met him, we bounced off each other so much, and then since then we spoke, keep speaking, and then I said to myself, I want to try and do like an evening with Kev. And then when I told him about it, he went, let's go. And then, lucky enough, as a football fan and a fanboy, I spent 3 days with Kevin. The first day with him, we did an evening with Kevin, and then what was fantastic. We raised a lot of money. Second day, I did something on my channel as well. We interviewed Kevin Campbell at the City Ground. And then the third day, we was in the posh seats, the prong sandwich brigade, in the posh seats with Kev. And as a football fan, Kevin Campbell was one of my idols. In the 97-98 season, he joined Forest 95, I think it was. And to have that person around you for 3 days, it was just like, I had to pinch myself sometimes. Because like I said, he's one of the guys. Sometimes you can't take ex-players seriously. Like, you talk to him and then you don't really talk to you afterwards. But that's fine. But Kev, he talks to me all the time. He gives me advice, support, how to deal with stuff. And that. And it's good to have that relationship with Kev. It's just, I'm loving it. Like, it's like I'm a fanboy, and why not?
There's no better feeling than that, though, is there? You know, the idea of when you meet someone that, for example, I met Lewis McGugan yesterday. And at first I thought to myself, we got into the press bit, and I just arrived. I was super nervous, sweating. And I was like, okay, that person's just looked over. They look familiar. I'm pretty sure that's Lewis McGugan. I reserved myself. I thought, do you know what? I'm going to leave it, because I always loved Lewis McGugan as a kid. And although he's never been the legendary best Forest player ever, he was incredible whilst he was there. And that goal versus Ipswich, I'm sure we both remember. And so I got into the press box. We were sitting there for a bit, and Colin Frey and David had gone for a little bit. And I saw him there, and I was kind of like, oh my God, that is Lewis McGugan. And for the whole time that I was there, I'd said hello to him a couple of times, and I drank a coffee and sat like and said hello again. But I didn't get a picture with him. I'm so gutted. But
I had Lewis McGugan on my channel through lockdown. And he's a nice guy as well. And I think with people like us, like we fanboys, and I understand when it's ex-players, they just want to go in there and watch football matches. Like, we all get it and that. But I don't, just go. If they reject you, you reject you. You move on. So I'm going to give you advice for you. Like, go up to him and say, have a picture of you and all that. And I think you should be scared. Because like I said, I can be scared. But I got this confidence now, a little bit confidence from, like I say, getting advice from people. Just do it. And if they say no, you move on. And that's it. But I won't say, oh, I wish I did this. Do it. And that's what you can do.
Just have no regrets about it. Because it's definitely something that mentality that I wish I had more of a couple of years ago, because there was opportunities to do things and I just said no straight out because I was like, I'm a bit nervous to do that. You know, and for example, when I was first starting to report at Forest, I just make sure that I didn't speak to pretty much anyone. I was just so nervous. But then as time gone on, you know, I started watching the players come in and I've met Steve Cooper a couple of times, nearly every time I've been there, you know, and to do that, to meet the training staff, to meet Stephen Reid, to meet all the players as well, it's just such an amazing experience. But yeah, yesterday I do regret not getting a pitch with Lewis McGugan, but I did manage to photobomb a BBC Radio Nottingham one, so I'll take that. but you know, I mean, I was in the picture, so what can I say? But obviously, we both share a love for Nottingham Forest. This is not a place where I have to be impartial, so I'm going to show my love for Nottingham Forest. You've definitely been to more games than I have, because this is probably one of the only times I've been to this many games ever. And you've been doing this for years, I know, going to watch Forest. So it's a pivotal moment for Forest at the moment. They've got Sheffield on Saturday and again on Tuesday, playoff semi-finals. How do you feel about that? It's incredible to think we're here.
Game against Sheffield United, I'm confident. I've said it on all platforms. I wanted Sheffield United in the playoffs. Not because I want revenge after the 2003-04 season, the Paul Hart. Because when we played them at their ground, it was 1-1. When Ryan Yates got the goal. But I think we can get the result of them against them. And the question is, like, do we deserve to be in the playoffs? Not really, eh? After what happened the first 7 games under Chris Hughton. It's a strange one, and the momentum we had in the Steve Cooper, beating everyone, beating loads of teams, especially away from home, it's mad. So this game, like I said, you see on social media, people saying, oh, we're going to lose against Sheffield United, bloody blow. Come on, Forest fans. Like, it's just ridiculous how people like, it's all right. It's okay to have an opinion. It's fine to have an opinion. You can say what you want, but the fan base, we've got to be confident. Like I said, I'm not saying everyone is. It's just like, it's always going to be like that 5 or 10% Forest fans thinking, oh, we're not going to do it. If we don't make it, it is what it is. But I think going into playoffs is just, especially the younger fans, embrace it. Embrace it, because we always hear about the European side, the older generation saying that, oh, we won it, blah, blah, blah. And the younger fans say, sick tired of hearing it. And what? That's the history. And if the younger fans don't want to hear it, go and support someone else. The playoffs, as Forest fans, got to think positively. I'm thinking, yes, we can do it. And I'm saying to myself, we can do it. Sheffield United is going to be a tough game. And if we beat Sheffield United, if we get Luton or Huddersfield, it's going to be a big game as well. So it is what it is. I'm ready for the playoffs, man. I can't wait.
It's a massive, massive moment for the club. And for me, it's the biggest outing that I will have ever had as a Forest fan. It's the biggest moment that I've ever watched. Even if I was to watch it on TV, biggest match I've ever watched for Forest, where I've been alive to witness it. And to be able to have the ability to go and watch them on Saturday is great. But, you know, as you say, a lot of people saying, oh, we're going to lose, they're our bogey team. Historically, you know, they've done this, this and this. And it's like, well, okay, yes. But you're forgetting that we've got a completely different manager, a completely different squad, a completely different tactic, you know, and we've got a completely different mindset. We're not in a mindset of, okay, let's just go out there and see what happens. We're in a mindset of, we are winning every game. We're giving everything to the very last minute, as we saw against Huddersfield when Lyle Taylor got those goals, one with the penalty, etc. And you've seen through any other games, Forest want to win games now. They want the 3 points. Even if you're a small team, they're going out and they're beating you 4-5-0. They want to, because they want the 3 points. And I don't think that any team within that top, you know, the other three teams that you would have been able to play would have been an easy game. We've just got to accept it. Every game is tough, but we've got a good team. We need to trust in Steve Cooper, right?
100%. And let's be real. And like I said, my first choice was manager was Chris Wilder, now the management manager, and Steve Cooper coming in. I was lucky enough to go to a fan forum, and it's all right saying the cliche, I want to do this for the club, this and that and the other. Listen, when I heard the thing back Steve Cooper, what he wants to do for the club, on the pitch and off the pitch, you want to hear that. And since then, from the fan forum, and now he backs it up. And now with the playoffs, it's crazy. It is crazy. And sometimes you've got to pinch yourself and think yourself, are we really in the playoffs? And I'm looking forward to it. Like, how long Steve Cooper's out of Nottingham Forest, like, he's done an amazing job. And especially the younger fans, you've got to think, we've never had this in our life since we've been a Forest fan. So we've got to take advantage of Steve Cooper being our Forest manager. And because it always happens in life, like, it's the bigger clubs, I will be sniffing on Steve Cooper because he's a fantastic manager. And lucky enough, we're Forest, we've got him. And hopefully we can do something forward and get us in the Premier League and get a new chapter at Forest.
Well, yeah, and obviously, you know, when a club has to appoint a manager, especially a club like Forest, where we saw those first seven games of the season and we realised there's a real potential to be relegated this year back to League One, something that I think we all feared, but was a real possibility. I must admit, at the start of the season, I thought, what is the point of going and watching Forest? And that's a horrible thing because I love Forest, but I wasn't in the moral, I don't know how to describe it. I wasn't in the right mindset to go and watch Forest because I thought, I'm just going to go and watch them lose every week. And there's better things I can do on a Saturday. But, you know, I didn't give up the faith, but there was very little of it. And, you know, when it came to appointing a manager, yeah, I was on the same page as you. Chris Wilder, he's just been at Sheffield United. He's done a great job for them. He'd do a job for us. But I thought, who the hell is Steve Cooper? And now I think to myself, do you know what? It just goes to show, you know, never judge someone before, you know, you get to know them and see what they can do. And it's incredible what 100%.
He's done. 100%. You meant, like, before you said it, like, the first seven games under Chris Hughton, I don't know, I mentioned the Stoke game. After that game, I didn't want to go back to watch Forest because it was depressing. It was horrible to watch. The friends around me, it was like, in football terms, it was depressing. I felt depressed, but we've got to follow our club. Every club around the country, we're going to have the ups and downs. And then when you talk about teams like Man City, especially Man City, they've got big money, they can spend what they want, blah, blah, blah. But when you've got low teams in Premier League, and you talk about teams like, I don't know, Norwich, Fulham, who else got relegated, who got promoted, Bournemouth, them two kind of teams, like, you've got to follow your team. And it is what it is. And Since Steve Cooper's come in, everyone wants to follow Forest now. And especially the red games, like you can say, the playoff semi-final against the United, everyone wants to go. But you can't. And it's one of the things, like, so many Forest fans want to go to games now. And hopefully, we're winning Sheffield United. Because I can't wait. I don't want to say it's a cliche, oh, we'll beat Sheffield United, this and that, over. I want to get to Wembley. I said to myself, I'm not going to Wembley till Forest go there. Simple as that. But we've got to get past Sheffield United first and see from there.
It's a hard game. It's a very hard game. You know, two teams that are, and you know, and I hate this because people have messaged me and they've gone, yeah, but look at that whole game. You know, you're not worried going to Sheffield. And I'm like, well, seven changes. You know, when Panzo is the best performing out of those back three, which he was, in my opinion, you've got Zande Silva and Maiten, both of them not first team proven, and both of them clearly needing a loan spell. And you've got other players in that squad that are definitely not first team ready. You've got seven changes to the squad. Okay, you draw against Hull, not a great result. But let's be completely honest here. You know, we should not judge our momentum going into the Sheffield United game by the Hull game. We should judge it going off the Fulham game and the games before that. And, you know, people can say that the Bournemouth game, whatever, but we weren't awful in the Bournemouth game. The second half was pretty dire. But we've got to say, before that, we were good. And the referee, unfortunately, officiating let us down. And that brings me on to my next point about VAR as well. Obviously, they've confirmed, I think it was John Percy confirmed that they won't be using VAR in the semi-final, but they will be using it in the final. What are your thoughts on that?
Disgrace. Disgrace. Because as you mentioned, when we played Bournemouth, and if we had VAR in that game and that penalty decision that we had, it would have been a completely different game. And now the semi-finals, and it's important, like I said, as every Forest fan know, we've had poor decisions by the ref. And if we had VAR in them games, maybe we'd be in top two. So to not to have VAR in the Sheffield United game, it's a disgrace, if I'm honest. And if, I don't know, I'm not saying just Forest, it could be Sheffield United, Luton, Huddersfield as well. If them teams don't get a bad decision because of a ref decision, and then someone's going to go mad. Because I know the Forest owner, Mr. Marinakis, and made a massive complaint. So for VR situation, I think we need it, but we haven't. And Forest players must get on with it and deal with it, because, like I said, if a bad decision happens, then it'll bite the FA in the bum or the AFL, whatever it is. And it is what it is, but we've got to focus now on just forget that VAR won't be in it.
Absolutely. And I think, unfortunately, with our fan base, and I don't like to say this because I think, I love all Forest fans. We're all supporting the same team, you know, and we're all doing the same thing. We love this great club. No matter where you're from, no matter where you live, we all love Forest. But the problem is that people are very quick to blame a result of a game on bad officiating. And although with the Bournemouth game, it's possible we could have, you know, that could have altered the game. We could have won, or we definitely would have got a draw or whatever. We don't know for certain that that was the defining factor. And for me, I think, yes, it was definitely, you know, we should have had a penalty or whatever. And there was definitely other mistakes made. But let's be completely honest. We were lucky they didn't score more in that second half. That second half was nothing that we can be proud of. And for me, I think we need to realise that mistakes happen. And yes, there has definitely been bad officiating, and the EFL need to look into it. But if we are a team that just blames officiating for everything, that shows where the issues are. And I mean, we've had days, and I think Bournemouth was one of them, where we just didn't take the opportunities enough. And regardless of what the officiating was like, there was still potential to have scored a couple of more goals in the first half. So we're very easy to blame. But one game where I thought, actually, that officiating mistake has cost us something, and it's a little bit off the first team talk, was last night. Me and you went to go and watch the Youth Cup final. Obviously, I saw you on the train sleeping as usual. so just putting that one out there, he was asleep.
Liars, liar.
you know how it is. But we got there and it was a great game. Obviously, Manchester United scoring the first with, I think it'd be Reece Bennett off the free kick. And then Forrest getting another one from Joshua Powell, who just slotted it into the right. It was a good goal, bit of a mistake by the Man U keeper, but a good goal nonetheless. And then I think it came to Zach Abbott in the second half, and he had fouled Garnacho, but it was on the edge of the box. I mean, it wasn't even in the box. It wasn't a penalty. And that, I think, actually did cost us the game, because I thought the momentum we had, and we were dominating from about 25 minutes into the game. After that, we were dominant. We would have won that game if they didn't get a penalty. What do you think about that? Do you think we would have won if they didn't get the penalty?
Listen to me. We were, from the whole game, we was on top. Their goal, my first goal was just, it was poor goalkeeping. Let's be real. But from that, we controlled the game, we had a better chances, better the ball. We should have won the game. But because of another ridiculous decision that was never a penalty, cost us the game. And when they scored the goal, the momentum we had went downhill, because they're playing in front of, let's say, 60,000, 70,000 Man United fans there. And the momentum, like, the Man U support was absolutely shocking last night. Absolutely shocking. And when you win 2-1, the Man U fans piped up, and it's going to give these young players a boost. And these boys players, they've got pride in themselves. They've got to be proud of themselves. Of like, they'll be. I think they'll be upset because of the decision. That was really, really bad, bad. And I just hope because of that decision doesn't affect them long term. Because these young boys, and especially on mentioning the left back before, he's only 15 years old. 15 years old, left back. I forgot his name. What his name was. But yeah, it just. Really, it was a really bad decision. Bad decision. And we should have won it, but it is what it is. And just hopefully these young players can be better in the future.
It was something I touched on last night when I was doing some reports. It was the immense pressure on the players. And this was even before the game. You know, I was asked, what do you think? Do you think there's a lot of pressure? And I was like, well, you know, if you've got 70,000 people, Sir Alex Ferguson, Sam Allardyce, some of the first team Manchester United players, Steve Cooper, Stephen Reid, Ryan Giggs, all of these people watching you alongside, 70,000 other people, 63 or something thousand Man United fans, how are you going to feel? You're going to be under immense pressure. There's scouts out there watching you that might potentially bring you to the team. You know, there is a lot of people watching you, but that for me, ultimately, that did cost us the game. And I was actually in the press conference area. And Simon Stone, who's a BBC reporter, very well known in Manchester, absolute legend. I was sitting there and he had a conversation with a guy from Manchester United. And the first thing that he said was, hold on, let me just say something. That was not a penalty. And the Man United guy was like, oh my God, what? What do you mean it wasn't a penalty? I couldn't see that. And Simon Stone's like laying it on him like, that was not a penalty. Do you know what I mean? He was like, that was outside the box. And you know... For me, it was, at the time I couldn't see it was out of the box, but you know, when you watch the replay, you go, oh my, you know, it was literally because of the fact that Garnacho had dived forward more and made it look like a penalty. But, you know, and as for Man United support, Simon Stone, again, he was tweeting that Forrest was singing about Man United's bad support. But let's be completely honest, they only chanted when they were winning, you know, they cheered when they scored and they were quiet after that. You know, but Forrest was singing all the way through. They were clapping even when they were losing 3-1 and singing.
It was mad. It was mad. Immense. Because like I said, when I was in the Forest end and was singing regardless. Man United fans are boring. Absolutely boring. And I mean, the only time I sang was, the celebration when they got the first goal. And then when they got the second goal, or was it the third goal, the pipes up. So Man United fans, it's boring. They should be ashamed of themselves. Like, they're a big club, but it was embarrassing. It was embarrassing to be a Man United fan. And
one question I'm going to ask: is that a youth? Is that because it's a youth game, or do you think that is actually a club-wide issue?
Club-wide issue. Like, it was my first time at Old Trafford, and you hear the other fans saying in the past, like, it's like a theatre of boring. And I thought to myself, you know, let me see what everyone talks about. And then when I got there, when we were at the ground, you expect people singing, whatever. And then there's no noise. If people see my vlog, I've just my vlog's out now, and Forest fans singing more than my new fans. And it was just boring. You got the clappers out, which I don't know why they need clappers. It's boring. Forest fans should be proud of themselves, like going to a stadium, 6,000 plus, and took over Old Trafford. And it was just embarrassing for the Man U fans. But here's what it is, they do what they do, and yeah.
It's always a tough call, you know, when it comes to talking about other fan bases and stuff, because there's always the biased element. But I can agree with you on that one. The Man United fan base last night, they didn't impress. And I don't know if it was just because there was, you know, not really Man United fans watching, if there was neutral people there, or perhaps a lot of them haven't been to a Man United game before. I'm not quite sure, because the last time I went to Manchester United in 2010, I was 5 years old. It was Manchester United versus Wolves. We won 4-1 and Sir Alex Ferguson was on the sidelines. It was a proper team. I've never heard a stadium so loud. I mean, that was sold out to the brim, no seats empty. So I think the atmosphere has definitely faltered, you know, as different managers have come in and, you know, the club's obviously had a bit of a decline. But it's good to see that Forest still held that famous atmosphere that they're known for home and away. And even singing the Mull of Kintyre, you know, however many miles away from home is incredible. But kind of the last thing that I want to touch on, because we've only got, because of me not having a Zoom license, we've got about 9 minutes left. So I kind of want to ask you the one last thing. Regardless of how Saturday and Tuesday go, which I hope they go well, and I think they will, what are your thoughts on next season? You know, is there players that you're looking at that regardless of what league we're in, we should sign? What are your thoughts?
Listen to me. If we don't go up, I think Steve Cooper's got an idea, because we could talk about the loan players. Like, it's been successful. Let's be real. It's been fantastic. Players like Spence, Signal, Lowe's not played much. Davis, them kind of players have been really good for us. So if we don't go up, I think Cooper's got an idea of bringing more exciting up-and-coming players from, especially the top clubs. He's got a past of bringing top-class players in from other clubs. So if we don't go up, I think we've got a plan, big plan. And we can mention, like, as well with Joe Worrell, Brent Johnson. Like, Brent Johnson, he's going to go high, really high in the future. And we'll have replacements. I'm not thinking we won't, because we will. So I'm confident for next season. But I want to be real. All I'm thinking about is what we're doing in the Premier League. I think we can do it. So it is what it is. I think if we need to bring in young players, young and hungry players, because as we know, in the last, the CEO was bringing old players on big wages, hard to get rid of them. And it was a sad state of affair at the club. So I want to bring, Cooper, I think Cooper will do it. He'll bring in young players that who's hungry, because like I said, we can mention Spence, Garner, Davis. They're hungry players. And that's why we're doing so well. And got Cook as well, experienced player from Bournemouth. I don't know why Bournemouth let him go, but it's our game, near loss. So it is what it is with that situation. But I'm confident Cooper can do the right deal for the Forest. But it's the exciting times, regardless if we're in the league or not. It's good to be a Forest fan right now, and I think every Forest fan are happy right now of things what's happening on and off the pitch with Nottingham Forest.
Well, the team's got a winning mentality. The management's got a winning mentality. Everybody has a winning mentality except some proportion of fans. And I think it's important that if you are listening now and you're a bit nervous about Saturday and Tuesday, that is normal. That's normal. Perhaps some of you have never been being able to witness a semi-final of a playoff or even a top six, even getting close to that area without failing on the last match of the season. So be nervous, but just be ready to have a winning mentality. You know, we've got literally nothing to lose. This has been a great season, but we have absolutely everything to gain. And, you know, it's going to be incredible. As for the loan players, of course, they're going to have to go back. I think we've got a real possibility of signing Zinchenko. I can't see Garner coming back because of Ten Hag's youth focus, but there's always the possibility. Davis, I can possibly see him coming back, if I'm being honest. I think he's got a bit more game time needed, and I don't see Aston Villa using him. Spence, I don't think so. But as for the other Forest lads, Brennan Johnson, as you say, and I think McKenna's got to get a special mention as well. Obviously, Cook got one as well. Worrell's been fantastic. Yates has been great. And I just think the whole team's been fantastic. And for me, the closing note that I want to give everybody, and I'm sure that you'll share this vision with me, is that no matter what happens on Saturday and Tuesday, we love Forest. But we should all be optimistic. We should all have a winning mentality. I think we're going to go out and beat Sheffield. It won't be easy across the two legs, but we're going to do it. I think we're going to do it.
We are going to do it. And that's what Forest fans are going to think. We can get a positive result. And I think we can do it. Confident. But we're ready. We are all ready.
We're ready. Absolutely. And I think that might actually be the description of the podcast. We are ready. Now, just before we go, that was episode 79, as I say, with Mr. Door, Door on Tour there. I'm just going to let Mr. Door just kind of plug his latest episode, and I'm going to get him to send me the link so I can put it in the description and whatever. So I'll hand over to you, Mr. Door. Tell us all about your new episode.
Like I said, I do Door on Tour. I do Forest home and away games, interact with fellow Forest fans. I do reviews and preview shows as well. And like I said, I'm having fun. Like I said, I interact with ex-Forest players, and it's all sorts of Forest as well. And that's what I'm doing. But I talk to Forest fans on my channel, and I've been doing it for 5 years. I'm nearly on 7K. So everyone, make sure you subscribe to my channel. I'm enjoying it. I'm having fun, and that's what I do. Have fun, interact with fellow Forest fans, and it's something it's positive, but I enjoy it. So make sure everyone subscribes to my channel, Door on Tour.
Absolutely, very commendable. Thank you very much for joining. Make sure that you get into that 7K, but we all know we want to get a bit more. So let's go 8K, 9K, 10K. Let's just go for the 100. I want to do it. I want to see it. So make sure that you subscribe. Don't just view the video. Make sure you subscribe, like, comment, do your thing. And most importantly as well, if you can share this podcast, that would be absolutely fantastic. So thank you very much, Mr. Door. It's been great having you on. And I look forward to speaking to you hopefully again in the near future.
Thank you for having me on. Oh, the block, oh, the Forest.
Let's keep this PG. Cheers. See you soon.
Thank you. Cheers.
Did you enjoy that episode of the Bat Ball Podcast? Well, if so, share, follow, like, do what you need to do. We would really, really appreciate it. Do tune into the next episode. If you're listening on Thursday, the next episode's on Sunday. And if you're listening on Sunday, the next episode's on Thursday. But any day that you are listening, take a listen to all of our more than 50 episodes available and do share them and let us know what you think. Thank you for listening.